Continue tonight looking at the subject of healing belongs to us. We don't know whether we're going to continue next week yet, but then at least tonight we're still looking at the subject of healing belongs to us. 3 John and verse 2. That's been our main text. And I read, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Now, we explain that this verse of scripture can be listed as one of the apostolic prayers in the New Testament, which is, it carries the same degree of import as the Pauline prayers. Okay? The Pauline prayers, which we are used to praying in our prayer meetings, this is one of those prayers that carries the same level of import, only is addressing a different aspect of the Christian life. This is, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." And we explain the fact that the difference between the prayers of the Old Testament and the prayers of the New Testament, we find it in the tenses of the New Testament. In the tenses of the New Testament, the focal point of our prayers is to pray out something from an account that's already full. So the prayer is not so much of God doing something, but the believer experiencing what God has already done. And it takes quite some time for the mind to adjust to that, you know, because generally when we say prayer, we believe we're praying to God, and we are praying to God, okay? But there's a fellowship that we have in the Son. We are not about to get, we have been given. And because we have been given, most of our prayers are outward. Outward in the sense that we pray out certain things. We release certain things in the place of prayer. With the Father's help by His Spirit, we release certain things. So here He says, "I wish above all things." And that word "wish" is the same word for earnestly pray. "I earnestly pray that you prosper and be in health." That word "be in health" means that you abide in a state of well-being. Nothing is missing, nothing is broken, you're enjoying soundness in your body. And He recalls this here as one of the apostolic prayers. So it's perfectly right and proper for us to pray the same way I pray for you, at the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is above His calling. And the same way also I should pray for you, that you will prosper. Say, "I will prosper and I will abide in health, even as my soul prospers." So revelation is for the soul. Then it says that you abide in health, you be in health. Hallelujah. A Christian's testimony is stronger, is better, when there's physical proof to those who don't belong to the same faith that the Word of God and what you say you believe is at work in and through you. That's the truth. So you say, "I earnestly pray." So it's more than a wish. Okay, the translation here says "wish," but it's more than a wish, which is, if you're going to ask God, "What is the uppermost thing in your mind concerning me, knowing that you have saved me from eternal condemnation?" God will say, "I wish," or "I pray above all things that you prosper." You do well. It means you have a safe passage. And then you abide in health, even as your soul prospers. Hallelujah. So last week we ran it up looking at Proverbs chapter 4, and we brought out certain things. And again, let me say this, because you know the kind of meeting we're going to have on Friday, the reason why we keep praying some of those prayers is because there's sometimes such a gap between our soul and the reality of what God has done in our spirit. So in the place of prayer, we bridge that gap. Okay, we bridge that gap. So a lot of times, contradictory response to situations is usually a function of what is prevalent in the mind. It's not usually a proof of what is resident in your spirit. Please pay attention to what I'm saying, is important. So you understand, because until what is in your spirit moves into your heart, it's your heart that now exercises your will to practice the truth as is revealed to your heart. So when we keep praying that the revelation of God's word will dwell in your heart, is because that is where decisions are made. That's where you decide for or against. That's where it is, a seat of actions, not your spirit. So your spirit doesn't govern your actions directly. Your spirit actually governs your actions through your mind. That's why the greatest help you can do to your spirit, by extension, the greatest help you can do the Spirit of God, who is in your spirit, is to have a renewed mind. Glory to God. Okay? Now, I just want to just keep some of these things in mind, because when we're looking at Proverbs chapter 4 again, verse 20 to 22, we see certain principles. And that principle, though, is in the Old Testament, is a principle that still applies to today. So when you're reading Paul's prayer for the believer in Ephesians 1, 17, cease not to pray for you, making mention of you in the prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom or spiritual wisdom or revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened or being flooded with light, you may know what is the hope of his calling. So look at it this way. There is an expectation in the heart of God. That expectation is what is behind the call of God upon your life. That means that when the Bible uses the word call there, it's talking about the call of salvation. When God called you and saved you, what did he have in mind? Did he just mean to preserve you until it's time to go to heaven? What is the hope of his calling? The hope of his calling means there is an expectation in God's heart. Which means there are some things he has done in Christ that he called you into. That's what he's calling the expectation, the hope of his calling. And he says it only comes by revelation. The hope of that calling or that expression is so strong that God ensured that the riches of the glory of what Christ accomplished is deposited in your spirit. Then he ensured that exceeding greatness of his power is backing it up. Hallelujah. So let me put it this way. A believer begins to grow strong and sound when he begins to see himself the way God sees him. He said, God, what exactly do you see? That's serious prayer. God, that is the greatest challenge. What do you see is the greatest challenge. God, what exactly do you see? Because God is looking at you in Christ. And what is in Christ is a bit difficult for words to express. So, there is never a time, listen carefully to where I'm going to phrase it. There is never a time a believer in Christ is ever sick. I'm talking about from God's perspective now. Pay attention. A believer in Christ cannot be sick because Christ can be sick. Do you understand that? A believer in Christ can be sick because Christ can be sick. But can you experience sickness? Yes. But from God's point of view, he has made it impossible for sickness to manifest. But do you experience sickness on the earth? Yes. That's why he now says, the issue is not God doing more. The issue is you knowing more. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. He speaks about three things, that you may know the hope of his calling. In us, it's behind that hope, there is the riches of the glory of the inheritance. One of the things you inherited in Christ is sound health. This is something Christ enjoyed before he rose from the dead. It's sound health. It's your inheritance. Inheritance is not something you work for. Let me put it this way. When you have children, you start seeing certain traits. Some of those things you see are things that you used to do when you're younger. You start seeing some of those things. And you are smiling to yourself. Even when you try to correct and punish, you are telling yourself that you're like, I need to cope this here. You see a child that seems to be a perfectionist, that you must not take that thing from ear to ear, it must be here. And you know this is you. The child didn't copy it. The child didn't necessarily see it from you. The child inherited it. DNA. So in Christ you have health DNA that you got by being in Christ. He now says at any point in time, to establish what you have beyond the inheritance, there is exceeding greatness of his power. And when we're looking at explaining authority in Christ, we explain what the word exceeding greatness is. That word means that to throw something beyond the mark. That means that you put more than is necessary in somebody's life. You put into the person's account what the person can never finish withdrawing. That is, there's no situation that will arise that will require that much, but you still put it there. And I said that is why a lot of people are thinking that when Christ, who is our life, don't forget that statement. Say, Christ is our life. Christ, who is our life? When he shall appear, Colossians 3, 1 and 2, then shall you also. The one also means in like manner. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. So those statements are meant to call our attention. Look at Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If you then be one, say, I'm risen with Christ. Okay, so you are risen with Christ. You have not risen physically with Christ. You have risen what? Spiritually with Christ. So, did Christ rise physically? Did he rise spiritually? Okay. So, did you rise physically? Did you rise spiritually? Which one is more important, the spiritual or the physical? Okay. So, because you have risen spiritually, you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. What is going to take place now, what we call the blessed hope, is a physical resurrection. Isn't that it? So when he says, if you then be risen, is it scripturally correct to say you are risen with Christ? Is it scripturally correct? So notice that you are not going to rise with Christ. You are risen. Otherwise, you can't be in Christ. You are risen with him. If you are risen with him, the only way you can explain your rising, since not physical, is that you rose out of the dominion of spiritual death. And in that dominion, that's where not only Satan, but sickness reigns. So if you then, and we explain also that in particularly King James Version, the word if, when it's addressing a statement of fact, in the original translation actually means since. Don't forget that. Maybe we'll take a whole service to teach about Bible interpretation one of these Sundays. We'll just take a whole service. Maybe it will be a month where I'm teaching different subjects, so I won't teach a series of just different subjects. Okay? So, he now says, so what he really says is, since you then be risen with Christ, seek. That means that your mind, that's where seeking comes from, has not yet come to embrace what has taken place in you spiritually. He now says, seek then those things which are above. We are one, Christ. And again, remember I'm speaking spiritually. So, I'm going to be a bit humorous now. It helps you. You know when people want to pray sometimes, they look at it, they look to heaven. Oh, Father. Okay, now, because in their mind, God is up there. And you're not wrong. But when it says above, above simply means a realm beyond the natural realm. That's all. So above can be here. Above is actually here. Are you? Did you get that? Should I say that again? Let me say that again. Above doesn't necessarily mean. I explained something to us when we were looking at explaining authority in Christ. The prayer in that Ephesians 1 from verse 17. Okay, you know we looked at the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. And setting at his own right hand, far above. We now said the word above there is not in height, it's in status, it's in ranking. So above is not height, above is rank and status. Do you understand? If seven of us sit and one of us is the captain, it's above everyone there, but they are all seated in the same place. Do you understand that? So it's above them. But it's not standing head and shoulder above them physically. So note the words that are used in scripture. It's not a physical reference, it's a spiritual reference. So when you are thinking about it, always think about it in light of spirit things. Do you understand that? Okay, so when he says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those which are one above. Above means that things that are superior to the natural realm, which is where you have been called, which is the realm of the spirit. I can prove to you that the realm of the spirit is not in heaven. It's here. Say it's here. Say it is here. Okay? Colossians 1:13. Somebody wonder, is it healing we are still discussing? Glory to God. Colossians 1:13. Let's read from verse 12 so it can make sense. giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers. The word made us meet there, that phrase means he has qualified us, okay? To be one, what does the word partake means? Participation, okay? A sharing, a communion. He has qualified us. How did he qualify? By the nature that we have received. Okay, because what's about to say, I said, partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, or what is common to every saint who is where? In the light. Who has, say us, as pastor, is that pastor present tense? Okay, who has won? Delivered us from where? The power of darkness, and us into. When you got born again, did you change geographical location physically? But you were in the kingdom of darkness. How were you in the kingdom of darkness? Spiritually. How did you change spiritually? Did you live where you were physically? No. That means both the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of his son are here side by side. It's called kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. If it was a geographical thing, then when you were delivered from the kingdom of darkness, if it is that one is here, you were trying to the kingdom of his dear son, that one is up there, so you just go up. Do you get it? He's telling you they operate side by side. That's what he's saying. They operate side by side. So he's simply saying that there is a realm above the physical realm where kingdoms exist, and a man has to be in one or the other. There's nobody who is in between. You're either a child of the devil. You didn't have to sign a form to be. You just are if you are not in Christ. You're a child of God if you are in Christ Jesus. That's the way it works. Okay? So it now says, if you then be reasoning, back to Colossians 3:1. Seek those things which are above, where what Christ seated where? On the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. So he's telling you that things on the earth, it's natural for your affections to be there, but you have to not make a conscious effort. But he told you, say something. When Christ, look at the next verse. When Christ, who is Christ? Who is Christ? Who is Christ? You have to be bold to say that too. When Christ, who is my life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in. So the word also there means in like manner. So what is he talking about? He's talking about resurrection. What some of us call rapture. I'm sure you know the word rapture is not in the Bible. It was coined by us, okay, to explain something. So when he says, when Christ who is alive shall appear, then shall we also. The word also means in like manner. How will he appear? In his glorified state. How will we appear also? In our glorified state. Guess what? Christ is not going to do anything extra for you to function in your glorified state. He has already put exceeding greatness of his power inside of you. When he calls, that power will revitalize your whole body and reconfigure it. The reason that power is already inside of you is very simple. If it's not there, you won't qualify for this statement. If you then be risen, you are risen. Or since you then are risen. That means that, listen carefully, all the power that's required to combat sickness or disease is already inside you. Can you open the scriptures and read and close and be well? Yes. What you are reading is not something that will happen. It is something that has happened that your mind is now feeding on. I told you how powerful the mind of man is. That there was a certain, I gave an instruction, I think it was last week, about a certain man that was always complaining of stress, and went to doctor, and doctor kept saying, just go away. But because the man was adamant, and the doctor knew this is how the mind of man works, and he said, okay, fine, come to the hospital for check. I came for check and said, okay, I'm going to give you an injection for the next 3 days, and it's going to make you sleep, it's going to make you, everything's going fine. So he gave him an injection for the next 3 days, and the man kept saying, in fact the way I'm strong, it's very serious. And after the treating, doctor told him, I've been giving you water in a syringe. Because in your mind, once it is in a syringe and it touches your body, You just believe that you are fine. It means his mind played a major role in removing the stress. So man's mind is a playing field, listen, of the realities of the spirit or the realities of the physical realm. Shall I say that again? Man's mind is a playing field for accepting or rejecting the realities of the spirit or the realities of the physical realm. That's where decisions are made to support or to go against either of the two realms. So Proverbs 4 now. I said all that to prepare your mind. Proverbs 4 now, verse 20. Remember Solomon functioned in the prophetic. So when he says my son here, he's speaking spiritually. Okay? My son attend. You know, it's interesting that Solomon was saying my son. We don't really have any son of Solomon who was like Solomon. Have you noticed? If after David and Solomon, in Solomon's lineage, nobody really mattered again. David, Solomon, after, nothing. All the other ones who came up were not as important as those two. So my son here is speaking spiritually. My son, attend. Prioritize my word. That means that you don't glean, reap benefits of what is here accidentally or passively. It has to be deliberate. What's he about to say? My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. So, one, attend to my words, which is the written word. Incline thy ear to my saying, the spoken word. So, anyone who has a business to transact on the truth of God's word will have to make sure there's something to read and there's something to hear. He's talking about the two major gateways into a man's heart. There's something to see, there's something to hear. And it is deliberate. Here's the beautiful part. We're using this principle to explain healing. But it affects, Pastor Pasotti was one who was saying something on Sunday when he was exhorting, it was in the morning. And he was saying that, listen carefully to what I'm about to say. I'm going to rephrase what he said. If you, for 7 days, morning, afternoon, night, all you are seeing and you are hearing is, I heal the sick, I raise the dead, I cast out devils, you will be shocked at the outflow of power through you. I have proven it. The work is to consistently stay with it and not change for 7 days. It will shock you what will happen the first time you try to pray for the sick. The outflow of power will be stronger than you have ever experienced before in your life. Why? It is you aligning the heart. Listen carefully. Not to something God is about to give you, but he has already given you, but was previously lying dormant. Do you know how sometimes difficult it is for you to constantly hold the thought of prosperity captive? When there's economy to hear in the news. When people are telling everywhere, there's no money anywhere. We are suffering. This country is terrible. I suddenly told somebody who follows me on Facebook. I chatted in inbox. I don't correct people publicly most of the time. I just said that. Go and remove from your post you put, I hate this country. Go and remove it. He went to go and remove it. I said that post will stand against you. In maybe 5 years' time, it will stand against you. You don't know where you are going to be, whether in public office, in your emotional, because what happened in just. I hate this country. It's just the whole of this country. There are some things you have to be careful to say. And I told him, you're also a believer. You're a man of God. You hate your land of assignment. You hate it. You want it to vomit you. Don't get emotional and say nonsense. Now, do you know what it takes for you to consistently say when your account is 0-0 kobo? That's even a good thing if it's not in minus. And you consistently hold the thought of prosperity. Isaiah 48:17. Thus said the Lord, the only one, that Redeemer, who teaches your hands to profit, who leads you in the way by which you should go. I am prosperous. I enjoy abundance. You are holding that thought for 7 days. See what happens to the muscles of your mind. I expect to be paid. I expect my account to be filled with finances consistently. Just keep saying, I don't change. What is the difference between you and those who prophesied? They prophesied. Are you prophesying? No. What are you doing? A statement of fact. You hear what I said? A statement of fact. Listen, you can be that infused. Attend to my words, incline your ear to what? My sins. Why? Those are the two ways anything enters a man's heart. He now says, when you have done those two, what's the next step? Let them not depart. That means don't lose sight of it. Let your mind replay the images. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them where? In the midst of your heart. That is where finding takes place. They asked the man of God, I respect the Lord, that, sir, are you saying you can't be sick? He said, can a man get pregnant? That was his answer. They shut up. Sir, how can you say you can't be sick? I said, can a man get pregnant? Somebody says, why? Unto himself, he had become a law. And he did it consciously. Now, how did he do it? Not by wishful thinking. He got the account. He spoke from the account. Until his heart was rich with the account. In other words, let me put it this way. We said something on Sunday also. God is able to do. What is he able to do? What is God able to do? Do you know that's not in any other testament except the New Testament? Because what follows it is what makes the old different from the new. He is able to do is not new. But that he is able to do according to the power that's at work is what is new. The power at work in us is Christ. And Christ is all the promise of God fulfilled. No, are you with me tonight? Christ is all the promise of God fulfilled. So if you come to me, for instance, and tell me, Pastor, I would like to have children, but I have no womb. I say, welcome. We have something for the power of God to do. Jesus is the healer. It is his office to heal. He wasn't healing as by the way. He stood in the office of healing. Healing was a primary responsibility. Healing was a primary way he dispensed his office. It was so primary to him that the way it was defined and described was in light of what he did. Peter summarized Jesus' ministry, his teaching, preaching, ministry in this way. Our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing. And healing. All that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So how was God was with him? He went about healing. Healing was a major way. He demonstrated God is with me. In other words, he's saying that, do you want to know what God is like? See me as I heal the sick. Do you want to know what God dislikes? See me as I relieve the oppressed. Do you want to know what God will always do? See me as I never say no to the sick. It needs to become your present tense consciousness. It will save you from the idea of begging God to heal. You want to beg me to teach or preach? Is it me? Just press start button. Make a mistake and ask a question. It's a mistake. I'll just start teaching. Pam. Somebody sent me a question on WhatsApp. Man of God. So I know that Minister Fine was from Adam. Says, we're having a hot argument here and I'm trying to prove to them. They're not asking me. Can you give me scriptures? I didn't open Bible. Somebody saying that if you change your name, that somebody said they had that experience, he went to heaven. They didn't go to our heaven. You know, there are many heavens. Yeah. There are many heavens. You don't know how. There are many heavens. And there are many things that appear to them that is not from our God. That they say that because your name was changed, your name was not found in the book of life. And they were having arguments. I said, even if your name is Egun Jobi, Shogun Soya, Eshutobi, there is only one thing that the Bible says. Beloved, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons, not Shogotobi. We are called sons. So they are not checking for Tunde Phillips, they are checking for son. Your name is son. Your name is not Deborah Phillips. No, your name is son. What man of love that we should be called sons? And that's the problem that they have. The person that gave you Shogotobi is a man. The one who called you son is the Father God. You have been called by a new name now. That is the name in the book of life. And by the way, the book of life is Jesus. Let's leave that one. The book of life is Jesus. Whosoever name was not found written, it seems as if whosoever is not a son. They're not checking for my pious. It should be. You are looking for this. Poor illiteracy is a problem. When Jesus rose from the dead, God didn't even mention Jesus. He just said, "Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee." When he said son, it simply means all my inheritance belongs to you. That's what it means. That's what we are called. So forget one name, they call one name, is one name, something else. No matter how terrible the name is, no. Don't think Old Testament. Don't say that they call me Jabez. Maybe I won't, even if they call you Jabez. You have been called by a new name in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You are a son as a son. So healing is Jesus' office. And it's so important for us to realize that before he died, he executed that office. After he rose, through the church, he's still executing the office. So it wasn't just in the four gospels. In the four gospels, he majored so much on it. His name healed. Luke 10, verse 17. And disciples came back. Even the demons are subject to us in your name. And they healed in his name also. His hands healed. Mark 1, 40 and 41. Let's look at some of those scriptures. Mark 1, 40 and 41. No, let me just quote everything. Mark 1, 40 and 41. See, demons are good. And that came about to him, beseeching him, and leaning down to him and saying, what? In that way that can make me clean. And Jesus moved compassion, put forth his one hand, and did what? Touched him. He said unto him, I will be thou clean. His hands healed. His hands healed. His garment healed. The one with the issue of blood. Mark 5, 25. All the way to verse 30. If I'm able to touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. It's to tell you that anything that has to do with Jesus heals. It means he didn't make healing a secondary mission. It was a primary mission. It was the one way that God could communicate to men who are in the senses, his loving kindness and his mercy. So healing is important to God. And I said last week that healing is God's unconditional response to sickness. Shall I say that again? Healing is God's unconditional what? Response to sickness. Why are you using the word unconditional? Everyone who came to Jesus was healed. He went about doing good and healing all. All means the only people who were not healed were those who did not allow healing, who refused to be healed. He went about healing all. All means that it was without exception. Without exception. Matthew 4, verse 23. See what the Bible says. Matthew 4, 23. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing what? All manner of what? Sickness and all manner of disease. Where? Among the people. You see that? Matthew 14, verse 35. And when the men of that place did what? Had knowledge of him, they sent out, did you see that? Into all that country round about. Now stop. This passage is interesting. Right? When they had what? Knowledge. What does he mean by knowledge? That man, you know, if you want to buy something in a local community, if you've ever lived in a local community before, if you want to buy something and there's only one major supplier. Whenever that man comes, they quickly go from house to house. Then they, he has come. Oh, are you ready to buy the mortar and pestle? Are you ready to buy the? He has come. That man has brought it. So, when they had knowledge, means that news of his activities had spread. But look at the action that followed their knowledge. The Bible says, when the men of that place, he just crossed over to that place by ship. When they had knowledge of him, they sent out. So that word sent out means that the people who sent out were not people who were necessarily sick. There were people who knew those who were sick. And they were like, this man engages in both retail and wholesale healing. Bring. It's like, you don't have to remain in that condition. I read the book, Mantle of an Apostle, Ayababala, and the Bible 1930. I saw in the book, the writer snapped a picture of the newspaper, which was in Yoruba in those days, of some things they printed about the river that took place in Lesha. And one of the captured NIC said, come and watch cinema in Lesha. People told each other, no matter how bad the affliction is, just get there and you'll be well. And people were getting healed by the thousands. How did the river start? They were holding a meeting in one of the buildings. Elders of Faith Tabernacle were holding a meeting. And then the young man they were about to interview, which was Ayababola, sat outside in another room, and he heard on the outside somebody crying, coming from the farm region, and he shouting, so-and-so person is there, and they were rushing, carrying the person to the hospital. And he came outside, saw them when they were crying and stopped them, rang his bell and prayed, and the dead person rose back to life. The driver started there and then. The meeting that they were conducting stopped. And for the next 3 months, every day, people traveled from everywhere, from Lagos, from Ibadan, from everywhere, all the way. The healings that were taking place were astounding. Astounding. Now, what was in place? One man who yielded for Christ the healer to be seen. Why? He is still the same. He hasn't changed. It's safe to say he can't help healing. They had knowledge of him, and they sent out into all that country and about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him. Now listen carefully to what he did. Where was their faith? That they might only touch. Jesus, don't belabor yourself to lay hands. The woman with the issue of blood had faith in Jesus' garments. Jairus, who had a daughter, had faith in Jesus' hands, and went to Jesus. If you lay hands on my daughter, she shall live. That's in Mark chapter 5. But these people had faith in what? Jesus' garment. He said that they besought me, they begged him that, let us just touch them. And as many as touched were made perfectly. His cloth was dispensing healing. That means the healing was in excess. In excess. It was that much. And Jesus, being the power of God on two legs, that means God was so desperate to demonstrate his nature of healing and health that even the cloth of Jesus was a storehouse for healing. And that was before the cross. He went about. I mean, he was just looking for wherever he can dispense the power. And in reading these articles, you will think that, okay, it's those who are just crippled, who are just lame. Creative miracles took place. Creative miracles. Look at chapter 15. Let me quickly show you something. Where is my chapter 15? Okay. Let's read verse 30. Look at verse 30. Are you there? And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, and what? Do you have any other translation? And there came to me great numbers of people, having with them those who were broken in body, or blind, or without voice, or wounded, or ill in any way, and no of others. And he put them down at his feet, and he made them well. Any other translation? That's all. Just these two. Okay, yes. Mimed. Okay. I was looking for that word mimed again in the suggestions to see. Let you see. You know what it means to be mimed? How many of you have seen amputees before? You've seen amputees before? Okay. How do you mean to be mimed? It means legs grew out. Arms grew out. Body parts were replaced. They asked Dr. John D. Lake, what is the most astonishing miracle you have ever experienced in your career or your ministry as a minister? He said, well, there was this story of a young boy about 6 years old, and the doctors, when he was born with the skull shaped wrongly. And doctor said as he grows older, the head was big, but the skull was shaped like this, in V shape. Instead of normally round, oval, it was shaped in V shape. And doctor said that, well, he won't live to see 10. Said because the pressure of the skull in that shape upon the brain will cause him to be an imbecile and his functions may cease. There were witnesses there. And John Gilly asked for the prayer of believing prayer of the saints. And he began to pray. And then lay his hands on the boy's head. And the power of God began to melt the skull into shape. And Bible says, exceeding greatness of his power. Began to melt the skull into shape until before every single one could see that the boy's skull was now properly shaped. Creative miracle. In the ministry of Dr. Alexander Dowie, some ministers were gathered, some doctors were gathered. And they physically saw this. They were witnesses. And he was explaining some principles of God's healing power to them. And he said, let me give you an example. And a man stood by him. The tumor on the man's side of the man's face was half of his face. Was that big. So it's like somebody has a tumor on their face and it's like from the side of his face, it's sitting like this. A tumor that was eating up the man's face. And the man said, he put his hands in the tumor, said, in the name of Jesus, and removed the tumor with his hands. And the doctors rushed and they saw fresh baby skin where the tumor was removed. That's more than gifts of healings. That's working on miracles. Now, why am I saying God ensured that same power is resident in the church even now? That's why in Acts chapter 3, look at Acts chapter 3. Let's look at Peter and John. Peter and John. Amen. We're going to read quickly because of our time. From verse 1, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being a night hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Then Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Is that in your Bible? This is Peter who wrote to us in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. To saints who have obtained like precious faith. It is say, we have apostolic faith. You have saints' faith. To saints who have received what? Like precious faith. And Peter is now saying, there's something in my possession. I carry it in my pocket wherever I go. Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Can you see that? So this is post-resurrection now. Peter said, such as I have. So the name of Jesus is a repository of healing power. The same office Jesus stood in before the cross, that same office is inside that name. Mark 16:17. Mark 16:17. The same office is in the name. See what Jesus said to us. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall what? Speak with new tongues. Next verse. They shall take up servants. If they drink any deadly things, shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the... How will they lay hands? In my name. So the healing power is in his name. The healing power is in his name. Why does the power work? Because his name represents his person, represents his office. And because he is alive. Hallelujah. He's still alive. His name and his person are the same. His office and his name are the same. His power is inside his name. All the authority he has is resident in his name. So Peter said, in the name of Jesus, it was given to the church to minister healing to multitudes. In the name of Jesus. That same Jesus that healed all the sick. That the Bible says people sought to touch him, for there went out virtue out of him and healed them all. Luke 6:17. That same Jesus says, in my name they shall lay hands on the sick. In my name. How much have you done with the name? It's a repository of healing. All his authority and power are in his name. His name is not for cutting cake at parties. His name is for exercising his office, his authority and his power. So if before the cross, when he was walking on the streets of Galilee, his cloth carried it, his words healed. He told the centurion who came, Master, I'm not worthy to have thee come to my house, but speak the word only. And Jesus spoke, and the servant became well. His words carried healing. We saw that the same authority, the same life, the same power was exercised through the apostles, through the early church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So healing in Christ belongs expressly to us. I want to show you something in 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Oh, that we'll see this in our days. Understand and walk in it. Amen. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ. And what? Members in particular. Now listen to the, how God, what God did to the members. He's about to mention members of the body of Christ. And God has set some in the church, the first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gives miracles. Is a member. He's talking about members of the body of Christ too. God has set some. So firstly one, apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings. And he's talking about members. So God has set miracles in the body. He has set what? Gifts of healings where? In the body. In the body. And you are members of the body of Christ. Members in particular. So miracles are always with us. Gifts of healings is always with us. It is the steering of our hearts with the truth that makes us walk in the abundance. You see, there's something about the exposition of the saints and the manifestation of God's power in any meeting. The expectation of the saints and the manifestation of God's power in any meeting. There's something about those two. The degree to which you expect, if you go to a church where they are preaching, healing has passed with the apostles, nothing will happen. Because the words of man can stop the flow of God's power, that's the truth. The words that come from my lips can stop the flow. The same way the words that come from my lips can release the flow of God's power. So here it says that God has set in the church, and he lists along with apostles and prophets and teachers. The miracles is part of the body of Christ membership. So miracles and gifts of healings have been set in the body that we're meant to enjoy. Hallelujah. So we ought to believe for this. Is believe means receive these things into expression, because it has been given to us. Is that something that God has set? You know what it means to set? To set means that you're exercising it has more to do with you than the one who set it. Then he used the word gifts of healings. When he said the word gifts, it was charisma. That means endowments. Something that once given becomes a faculty within you. So gifts of healings means endowments of healings in the body. That means there is no case, no situation, no health challenge that in our gathering the gifts of healings and the working of miracles within us cannot solve. None whatsoever. As long as we're conscious of it. But you know, again, many people came to hear Jesus and they related with him in the office of a teacher. And some came, they didn't even listen to his teaching. They just came to see him as healer. Luke 5:17. He came past on a certain day as he was teaching. The power of God was present to heal them. Them were arguing. One came late. Didn't hear sermon. Didn't argue. Received healing. Left without giving offering. Who did he come for? Jesus the healer, not Jesus the teacher. The ones who came for Jesus the teacher were left with their arguments and the ailment in their bodies, and they went home not healed because they didn't see him in his office. You know, that man who was paralyzed, helped by his four friends, must have seen Jesus in his office for him to do what he did. But the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. And it takes faith for people to carry you upon the roof among doubters and those who are arguing. And because they can't enter, they now open the roof to bring you in. Because if you were just paralyzed before, if they drop you, you are dead. So it had better be faith. And when they dropped the man, the man didn't say a word. Just by their act, they saw their faith. I said, son, your sins are forgiven you. Then the ones who came to hear teaching, so they can argue. Something's about to take place that should let you know tremendous power is here. They say, stop. Who can forgive sins except God? Is that not blasphemy? What did Lord Moses say? Lord Moses, where we are now, when there's ailment in your body, when you are treating arthritis, when you are treating this one, you are discussing Lord Moses here. When they were saying, consider, said, stand up, take your bed, and walk. And man stood up, took his bed. I'm sure the man was carrying bed. Thank you. Continue. You see me really take his bed and I've collected what I came for. They were still busy discussing which text. Is that in Jeremiah? And sickness was in their body. Somebody saw Jesus in his office. Received. Don't come to church. I just want you to experience Jesus in his teaching ministry. Come to church knowing that gifts of healings are set in the church. Miracles are set in the church. Hallelujah. You haven't watched night service, I think, was it 2 years ago or so? And somebody was there and we were praying. The word came from the altar, from the pulpit. And when that instruction came, I didn't even know the person was there. And she had had a lump. And she was afraid, it was already painful that it was cancerous. And by the time she got home, the thing had disappeared. God has set in the church. There was, I think it was one of last year, when we were doing the same crossover night service, or watch night service again. And we got to a point in the service, and I just received an instruction. I said, we're going to shout now. And everyone that wears a particular ailment, that's the end of it. We shouted. And immediately, the ailment vanished. Why? God has set some in the church. Gifts of healings are here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, there takes a conscious awareness of those things for us to see those things in expression. It's a tragedy for us to have so much and experience so little. And the Bible tells us he has set some. He has said some. As that when we need it, we are the help that the world needs. We don't go to the world looking for help again. Hallelujah. The very life of God, the very deposit of God are within. So there is no situation, there is no case whatsoever. I can tell you one testimony after the other of different cases. That's why I said that how bad is bad. How terrible is terrible. We've seen those with no womb conceive and bring for children. We've seen those with no eardrum start hearing by the power of God. Hallelujah. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Absolutely nothing shall be impossible. Whatever needs to be replaced will be replaced. Why? We're trusting in the power of God. And that power, the Bible uses the word exceeding greatness of his power. That means power beyond what is required per time is at work. So when we come together, we are fellowshipping with tremendous power. Glory to God. It takes a tremendous power. And some strange things are going to happen on Friday night. I'm telling you, some very wonderful, mighty things are going to take place on Saturday night. We just set our hearts. If you just set your hearts, you are trusting God for what? Miracles. I hope you know you are not just coming to come and be singing Psalms to entertain us. Who wants to be entertained? You are looking for entertainment. I'm looking for miracles. Entertainment. Your life must move forward. There must be progress. You don't want to come and be singing. Why can't you sing during the day? You be singing. Things are not working, anything are working there. You're saying you need divine favor, you need supernatural progress, you need the help. You don't want to, you think you are just coming together to have clap hands and be singing. Who do you can do that on Sunday? No. When they sang Psalms in prison, there was an earthquake. That Psalm. Not the one of like, this voice is sweet. No, it's not sweet voice. It's power. That we're talking about. Tremendous power. That's what we're talking about. Not, we're not here to play. We have to fellowship with our Father, and it's a fellowship for power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, is that's what we're fellowshipping with. There's yet to be something called impossible in the light of that power. There's yet to be. Hallelujah. So there will be solutions, there will be answers. Fear will be cast out. Men will be delivered. Men will be mightily helped, strengthened, edified. New pathways will be charted for men. Hallelujah. There will be new beginnings also. In the name of Jesus. So let's come with that understanding when we are coming. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 4 says that. 1 Corinthians 5. So, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together and my spirit, with what? The power. The power. When you are gathered, the power. Why do we gather? When you are gathered, my spirit. With the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that power is the power that raised him from the dead. That's the power we fellowship with. That's the power that belongs to sons. That's the power that sorts out every situation. That's the power. We've sorted out many things with that power. We will yet sort out many more things. Why? We will intelligently cooperate with that power. Intelligently cooperate with that power. So there's no sickness that will stand. There's no disease that will tarry or delay. Hallelujah. Every yoke and affliction will cease and come to an end. There will be supernatural liftings, enlightenments, directions, clear instruction. God's wisdom at work in our midst. Lift up your hand and give me praise tonight and thank him. Father, we believe in your power. We're confident of the working of miracles. We're confident of the gifts of healings. We're confident of design of spirits. We're confident of the gift of special faith. We're confident of the word of knowledge. We're confident of word of wisdom. We're confident of prophecy. We're confident of diverse kind of tongues, interpretation of tongues, even of Father. We're confident that we'll drink of the rivers of living water. We're confident that your glory cloud will be in manifestation. We're confident that tremendous power will be manifest to help, to heal, to assist, to strengthen, to lift the saints. We are confident. And in the name of Jesus be glorified. We are confident of the ministry of angels. We are confident that all that needs to be said will be said. All that needs to be seen will be seen. All that needs to be heard will be heard. All that needs to be wrought will be wrought. We are confident this Friday that mighty things spring forth. Mighty things break forth. Mighty things that brings about a supernatural turnaround in the lives of every man and every woman. We are confident to expect. We put all our trust and our confidence in your mighty power. Thank you for anomalies are corrected. Thank you because the sick are healed. Thank you because there are creative miracles. Thank you because there are new trajectories wrought in the lives of men. Thank you because men are supernaturally emboldened. Fear and timidity cast out. Boldness to step into new seasons. To step into new things. Ideas from heaven. Fresh thoughts to bat new processes are released upon men. Thank you, Father. Stagnation comes to an end. But the waters, through the waters of God's Spirit, we move ahead, we move forward. We experience progress like never before. We rise above the limitations of our environment. In the name of Jesus, we are confident of the glory of God. And that same glory cloud, thank you, with the awesome demonstration of your spirit and of your power. We see working of miracles like we have never seen it. We see signs and wonders like we have never seen it. The name of Jesus exalted and magnified. We see you as you see us, Father. And we give you praise and glory for the mighty things that are wrought. Thank you for a new season. It's upon us. We speak these things by your word. We declare these things by faith. We know our faith is rewarded in Christ, for he is our very life. Thank you, Father, for a rich fellowship. Fellowship deeply in the things of the Spirit, even such as we have never blown before. We are ready. Our hearts are open. Our hearts seek for more and more of these things. We yearn. We long for these things. Depths are reached on Friday. Saints are edified, built up by the power of God. Yeah, men, move on to new assignments. Oh, balekondisiata, ishugrota kalakastia, eyes that see, ears that hear. Oh God, dunye mantulita shia, fire on every heart. Oh, a burning passion, habits destroyed, not in line with the will of Father. Oh, langris tekishte, doing the master's bidding, even his call, becomes uppermost again and again. Oh, revival, 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 revival. Breaking forth, men conscious, men passionate for the things of the gospel like never before. Oh, Leandia Sutta, the proceeds, release, arising, men stirred up in their hearts. Lino, Bakatu Boshita, Ezuzobro Stavragato, the dew of heaven resting on everyone. Men walking fully soaked in the rains of the Father's glory. Oh, Palagrastike City, I see this glory. Yes, hear the things that you have prepared. Revelation flows like living water. Oh, we see by God. We know by God. We hear by God. We move ahead. Deliverance is wrought with ease. Wrought with ease. No man marking time. Oh, speed, speed, speed. Time is redeemed like never before. We give you praise, and as a cloak of supernatural favor upon every man and every woman, we get things done with ease. Ah, with ease. July shall be a month of months. Glory to your name forever. Shall be a month of months. We get things done with ease by the power of God. Clothed with grace. Clothed with grace. Clothed upon with grace. Where there was once a no, there is a divine yes now. We are yes everywhere with all. Oh, we receive. We prosper in the affairs of this life. We prosper. There's a divine exchange through the wisdom of God, through the skills and ability we have received of the Father. Thank you for prosperity. Belongs to the saints, prosperity. Prosperity is the experience of every saint this season. We give you praise and glory. We exalt you, Father. Blessed be your name forever. Hallelujah. Let's lift up hands one more time and give him praise and thank you for his one. Into Friday, we see the feast of far things laid out. We see the miraculous events. We see victory over forces of darkness. We see the manifestation of the needs and the desires of men. We see utterance spoken with all clarity, astonishing things out of your heart of love as spoken to the saints. Men are reassured. The faith of those that are wavering becomes strengthened. Your love comes abroad to everyone to see. And we give you praise, our Father. Our hearts are glad. Thank you for alignment. Thank you for cleansing. Thank you for repositioning. Thank you for setting us on the right track again and again. We march on Enad. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.